Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have your word. We thank you that through your word we are encouraged and challenged. And as we've been looking at our motto over the last few Sundays, we pray, Lord, that we may grow in our knowledge of Christ. We pray that as we grow in our knowledge of Christ, that we may live for Christ joyfully. And as we live for Christ, that we may be very deliberate in the way that we share Christ. We pray, Lord, that our motto won't just be words on a paper, but words that shape us, encourage us, and remind us to keep Christ at the centre of all things. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Over the last two Sundays, we've been looking at our motto, Know Christ, Live Christ, and today we're going to look at Share Christ. It's good to think about our motto so that it's not just nice Christian words on a piece of paper where we all assume that we know what it means and that we're all committed to it. Anyone walking into our church service and reading our motto in the bulletin will make the assumption that these people want to be focused on Christ, that these people want to follow Christ. The motto reminds us that we exist as a community because of Christ. That is why we are a Christian community and not a religious social club or an association. We meet because of Christ and for Christ. The motto also reminds us that knowing Christ leads to living for Christ, which should lead to sharing Christ. There should be a natural and normal flow if we're focused on Christ, focused on who he is, what he's done, and what he's doing for us. We will seek to make the motto not just nice words, but something that actually impacts the life of TPC. So to know Christ means knowing Christ and making him known. The question we need to ask in relation to that part of the motto is, do we consider knowing Christ as being the most important thing in our life? The Apostle Paul said it was knowing Christ was the surpassing worth of everything else. Do we see the value and worth of Christ above all things? To live Christ means living for Christ and living like Christ. And we do this because Christ loved me and died for me. And Graham reminded of us this morning. The question we need to ask in relation to that part of the motto, how does the action or the decision that I'm about to make bring honour or glory to Christ? That's what it means to live for Christ. Every decision I make, every action I make, I decide how is it going to honour Christ? How is it going to please him? How is it going to glorify him? So knowing Christ leads to living Christ, which leads to sharing Christ. It's both logical and there's a natural progression. And sharing Christ must come from a deep love and appreciation of the worth and value of Christ and a love for those who don't know Christ. Have you ever been or have you ever sat in a busy place? Could be a sporting event, could be in a shopping centre. And you're seeing lots of people all around you. They're walking, they're running, carrying stuff. And you're thinking to yourself, there's lots of people, isn't there? How many of those people that are walking past me know Christ? I know that TPC is committed to sharing Christ. That's what we want and that's what we hope for. I have no doubt about that. We want people to know Christ. We want them to experience his love and his grace. The issue is not, are we committed to sharing Christ, but do we actually do it? Now, we have different temperaments, and some of us can feel very uncomfortable about sharing Christ when we're told to do it in a certain way and with a certain script. I don't like that either. You want to feel a bit more natural. Some of us are far more comfortable, of course, forming friendships and relationships with people and sharing the gospel at some point. Others don't mind doing cold turkey evangelism. When the students from Christ College came down, Dave got them to do some cold turkey evangelism or street evangelism, where they asked people on the street a number of questions about the community, which was a great way to break the ice. And then they had one last question about Jesus, which either led to a very short, sharp answer or a dialogue. And sometimes more of a dialogue. Some people like that. That encourages them. And some people say, no, I'm not going to go down there, it's too scary. Sometimes the cold turkey street evangelism is amazingly blessed by God. When I was in a college mission, a mate of mine walked up to a guy in his garden, shared the gospel, he became a Christian. Amazing. Yesterday we heard at the workshop on how to share Jesus with your neighbours, we heard about two boys, 10-year-olds. They were door knocking the local area, asking people, did they need prayer? So they knocked at a certain door, a man answered the door. They asked him, do you need prayer? And he said, yes, I've been in a coma for 3 days and I need prayer. So they shared the gospel with him and he became a Christian. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that encouraging? It doesn't always happen, but it does remind us that it's God's work, doesn't it? He can work very fast or he can work very slow, but he works. And he uses us to get the word out. Whatever your comfort zone is about evangelism or sharing Christ, the issue is, are you taking hold of the opportunities that God has given you and is giving you all around you? Are you actually praying for opportunities to share Christ with the person who cuts your hair, with the mechanic, with the parent of the child on your child's sporting team, or the parent at school, or your neighbours? I know sharing Christ is hard. It took Anna and I 7 years to invite our neighbours over for a meal. And the only way we could do that was new neighbours moved into our street, and so we can invite all that we knew, you know, like Canberra neighbours, to say hi, bye, you know, that's it, isn't it? So we invited them over. It was a great excuse to meet the new neighbours. They felt really loved. They said, this never happens anywhere else. It's taken us 7 years to do that or to coordinate that. And then they invited us over to their place and the other neighbours going. So there's a possibility, hopefully, of getting to know our neighbours besides hi and bye. Let me say that evangelism or sharing Christ is hard for me. It's not my natural mode of operation. Some people are very natural about it. Graham's very natural about it. My mate Mitch is very natural about it. He can turn any conversation into a gospel conversation. He's quite bold. He'll tell you, if you don't believe in Jesus, you're going to go to hell. And people don't seem to be offended at him. I don't know why. But some people have that natural ability. But the most of us, we actually have to be deliberate about sharing Christ. Now, no offence, but I'm in a ghetto, and it's a Christian ghetto, of course. I get to see and mix with people that are Christians and that agree and, you know, with me, and we can have a great conversation. But I need to push to see how much I can connect with people outside of myself. So I try to get to know my barber. And we've had a few conversations. It's really helpful because he's into games and my boys are into games. So I can sound intelligent about computer games, you know, Dota and, you know, League of Legends and throw it out there, which is great. But he's moved. He's left Langdon. He's moved. So I've got to follow him because if I actually want to continue to build that relationship where I hopefully could have a conversation about Christ, I'm going to have to follow him. So I'm going to have to come to Tuggeranong instead. Back in Griffith, the barber and I, we had a good relationship and we occasionally did talk about religion. See, the danger about sharing Christ with evangelism is that we talk a lot about it, but we never actually step out and actually do it in our own life, which is challenging, but also in the life of our church. The Sharing Jesus with Your Neighbour workshop that was held yesterday was very encouraging. And its purpose was to equip us. No guilt, can I reassure you? You can ask Lexia and the Keatings. No guilt was used. It was simply there to try to keep it in the front of our minds. Like, we are committed to sharing Christ. We don't deny that. But it's the doing that we need to be reminded of. It's about giving us ideas that would increase our confidence about sharing Christ. And the most important things about workshops and seminars and, you know, going out on the street and sharing Jesus is reminding us that sharing Christ is not about a program. It's not about a method. There's nothing that's going to guarantee success. You're not going to be able to knock on a door and say, "Can I share Jesus with you?" And they go, "Yes," and then become a Christian. That could happen, Joe, but maybe it couldn't. But what it says to us that sharing Christ is about a lifestyle. And it's coming out of our relationship with Christ. So workshops, seminars, Bible studies on evangelism, cold turkey street evangelism simply helps us to be prepared to share Christ with anyone and everyone and helps us to obey God's call. The Apostle Peter tells us, "In your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared." And all these things that are being offered is simply a means to being prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. And I think you should always finish the verse with, "But do this with gentleness and respect." Very important. We are busy, we are tired, and because of that we forget to share Christ when the opportunities come up. We feel unprepared and inadequate. We need to therefore take hold of all the opportunities to help us to be better prepared. We need to think differently about sharing Jesus with others. We need to hear that sharing Christ with others starts with sharing ourselves. We share ourselves first, and then we share Jesus. It could take 2 days, could take 2 weeks, could take 2 years. Sharing Christ means sharing ourselves through what we do, how we connect with people, so that we can actually share Christ with others with our words. Sam Chan, who you've heard a lot about, conducted a workshop on how to tell your friends about Jesus and had a number of points to consider when sharing Jesus. The first thing is that the friendship you're wanting to actually engage in has to be genuine. Okay, these are not notches on my Bible. These are human beings. These are people made in the image of God. These are people who need to know Christ. So it's not about the goal, yes, is because I love them, I want to share the gospel with them, but I do want to become interested in them. So he said to us, before you start telling them about Jesus, you need to find out about them. Listen to their story. Listen with respect. Ask questions. Be interested. And then in time, they may be opening up for you to share your story. And part of your story is the Jesus story, which may lead to stories about Jesus or the Jesus stories. Now, Sam told us about amazing things. We all sat there going, "Wow, I can't do that. That's not me. That'll never happen." Then he reminded us that he gave us the end result. After 2 years, 5 years, okay? You know, there's time. We don't just sit there thinking, "Oh, that, you know, it's unusual. Knock on a door and someone becomes a Christian." It takes time. You see, God didn't just send us words. He sent us his son, the Word, in the flesh, who lived for 30 years doing very little, in one sense. There was nothing miraculous. 30 years. God took time. I mean, he could have just zapped Jesus down as a man, done it in about a week and got it over and done with. No, had to be conceived, had to stay in his mum's womb for 9 months, had to go through the whole issue of babyhood and adolescence, pimples maybe, I don't know, could have been. Had to wait till 30. God takes time. So sharing Christ may take time, will take time, but not always. Sharing Christ means sharing ourselves first. Sharing Christ comes out of a relationship with Christ, the relationship that we value. And the Apostle Paul is a good example of this. See, the Apostle Paul actually reflects the heart of God. He says, "This is good and pleases God our Saviour, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth." See, Paul was aligned with God's heart. The question is, am I aligned with God's heart? God wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. Does that drive me? The Apostle John tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. There's another vision of God's heart. He gives the world his son. Why? Paul tells us because God's goal is reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says, God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against him, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. There's God's heart. He wants the world to be reconciled. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation. We have a reconciling God. That's the good news, that God has done everything for us so we can be reconciled to him, and sharing Christ is the means whereby people hear the good news through us. Paul is a good example of a person who gave up his rights to share Christ with others and who sought to accommodate the message, not the content of the message, just the way that it was presented to the person. In the reading we had this morning, verse 19 says, though I am free and belong to no man, I have made myself a slave to everyone. Why? Why does he do that? To win as many as possible. Paul gave up his right of being independent and gave it to Christ, and in giving it to Christ, he sought to accommodate himself to others with the goal of winning as many as possible to Christ. That's why he says in verse 22, I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means, I might save some. You see, Paul is concerned about people. He's interested in relationships, and he tries to walk in the skin of other people. He tries to understand them. Why? So that he can share Christ. Why? Because he knows that God's heart is about reconciliation. And therefore his heart should be about reconciliation. He knows that God loves people. Therefore, he loves people. So how do we become all things to all people? You might first become friends with other people. That's going to cost you, of course. You might find you have to share yourself with others. Or you might now start saying to yourself, it's all good and well, Peter, but you know, the average Aussie is opposed to Christianity. The average Aussie is not interested in Christianity. Well, people, you may be surprised to know, are actually more open than we are led to believe, particularly by the media. In your bulletin, there's a website that I would like you to have a look at, because what it does, it gives you the information on a study that was done this year, or came out this year, called the Faith and Belief in Australia study by the McKindle Research, and they found these particular facts. One, the majority of non-Christian Australians have a warm or neutral attitude towards Christianity. That's a surprise. Non-Christians were asked this question: given the right circumstances and evidence, how open would you be to changing your current religious views? Around 1 in 4 non-Christians said they'll be open to change. That's 15% of the total Australian population, or 1 in 7 Australians. In other words, 3.6 million Aussies are open to hearing about Christ. That's a lot. And I'm sure you and I bump into them occasionally. The last thing, I mean, there's lots in that report, but this last point came out. What would attract a non-Christian, say, to religion? That was the question. They said this: people who live out a genuine faith. That's not a surprise, is it? As they look at you at work, in the sports field, at home, your neighbours, the New Testament tells us, or calls us, to live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, and we are accused of doing wrong constantly, they may see your good deeds and glorify God in the day he visits us. The Lord Jesus says, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So 3.6 million Australians are open to hearing about Jesus as long as they can see in you that Jesus makes a difference. So as people get to know you and trust you, they will open up to hearing about how Jesus makes a difference in your life. But there is a group within our society that are very comfortable about talking about God and about religion. And that's new Australians, people from overseas. In Griffith, I dropped into a Buddhist friend, and I think it was an hour and a half that we talked about religion. They have no problems. It's not an issue with them. Many come from different cultures where there is no divide between the secular and the religious. So talking about faith and God is natural, comfortable. Recently, Anna was talking to one of her students at work, a girl from overseas. She had just finished her course and she was sharing with Anna that she had this insurmountable problem. Anna was led to ask her, "Are you a Christian?" And her face just lit up. She was excited to meet another Christian because she said that it was very sad that in her experience she had met many Australians who were not Christians. She had actually asked one person at work, "Are you a Christian?" And the person looked at her with a blank look. She was surprised how few Christians there were in Australia. But maybe they're there and they're just all quiet. Instead of saying, "What did you do on the weekend?" as Graham's reminded us, "I went to church." Sometimes we're a bit too quiet, as if no one's going to hear us. We don't have to be loud and, you know, arrogant, but we do need to make some noise for people around us, especially those from other cultures who may be looking for people, connecting with people who know Christ. All these people, the Aussies and the new Aussies, they're our neighbours. They stand at the sporting field. They struggle with their shopping. They pick up their kids from school. They're all around us. And they are coming to our ESL classes. Yes, they're looking to learn about English. They want to be more comfortable in our culture, but they're looking for friendship. Looking for people who are willing to share themselves as Christ shared himself with this world. Jesus told his disciples, "I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest, and maybe they are all around us and we're just not looking. The harvest is plentiful," he says, "but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Let's not believe the lie that Australians are hostile to Christianity just because it seems to be promoted in the media. Let's pray for opportunities to meet and become friends with our Aussie neighbours and our new Aussie neighbours. Let's pray that the new Australians, that we will connect with them, that we won't be afraid. I know there's struggles and there's issues with language, but let's show them how a Christian can show compassion and acceptance, just to be there to help them. But what should move us to reach out to our neighbours? What should move us to share Christ? Well, one, God's love. God's love for this world in giving his son. God's desire for all people to be saved and reconciled to himself. Those things should motivate us, move us. And Paul adds another one in verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 9. "I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings." We all want to be blessed. Well, here's a promise. As we share Christ, we are blessed. When we share the gospel, we share in the blessings of the gospel as we see people come to know Christ. And as we share Christ, we actually grow in Christ because we're maybe moving out of our comfort zone. Seeing someone respond to the gospel and who is continuing to follow Christ is one of the most wonderful things that you can experience in your life. It encourages you and reminds you not to be ashamed of the gospel, but convinces you that the gospel is God's power that brings salvation to everyone who believes. Our motto is there to remind us, not condemn us. Our motto is there to encourage us to keep focusing on Christ and to have everything that we say and do shaped by Christ. So to know Christ means knowing Christ and making him known. To live Christ means living for Christ and living like Christ. To share Christ means sharing Christ through our works and through our words. I pray that our motto will be more than just words on a paper, but something that shapes and moves TPC to continue to be faithful to God, which we are, but also actively proclaiming and promoting Christ in every area of our life and in everything that we do and say. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you for the reminder that our motto points us to Christ. We thank you for the reminder this morning that to share Christ comes out of our relationship with you and seeks to have relationship with others. We pray, Lord, that we will be praying for opportunities. We pray, Lord, for the grace to take hold of opportunities. And we pray, Lord, to take advantage of everything that will better prepare us in making Christ known. So, Lord, as we continue on, we pray that everything that we do, every service that we attend, will help us, assist us, encourage us to know Christ, to live Christ, and to share Christ. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.